cool.
And that's just the countdown.
Yeah, sure, sure.
What you have.
All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, cool. Good.
So from, you know,
great.
And
thank
from
you for
here,
doing that.
You're just going to hit whatever slide.
Sure.
You want to go to next.
Sweet. That'll be great, man. It looks like it's got battery life and everything. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you should be.
That's fine. Great. Yeah, where I was at last week.
It has been a little while since we've had Aaron and Valerie with us. Some of you that are new, and there are many of you who are new, you may have never met them other than a name on our list. But we are honored and privileged this morning to have with us Aaron and Valerie and their six children. They can go through all the names with that, you know.
There will be a test,
he says afterwards, so you may want to take note. Don't test it. You guys will get the test, and I'll grade. How's that? You know, I think that's fitting. But Aaron, it is, and Valerie, both of you, it is a joy to share this space with you all again. You know, and though you may be transitioning, as you will tell us, the partnership will still stay there, at least between, you know, us. We enjoy getting to know you and seeing the ministry you've done. You know, the messes you've cleaned up after me in other places. Aaron followed me in a previous church, and so I know he cleaned up messes, like Ron cleaned up messes for me last week. You know, right, Ron? You were already asleep? I haven't even gone 5 minutes and you were asleep. Man. I do a good job. Okay. Aaron, it is a blessing as always, brother. So share with us what the Lord has laid on your heart as we continue to partner together.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jeremy. Am I good?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Daniel, put your turn.
Wonderful. Well, good morning. It's a pleasure and an honor to get to bring the Word of God to you this morning. And it's a joy to Valerie and I and the kids to be able to worship with First Baptist St. Paris. You know, you were the first church to come alongside us and partner with us. And that's something we won't forget. That's something we will not forget. And just the way that you've partnered with us and the way that you've prayed for us, it really is a blessing to be in partnership and ministry with you. Let's go to the Lord before we go to the Word. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation we have in you. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in you. And we thank you, Jesus, for the way that you knit us together, the way that you make us a family, that we're closer to one another than we are our own blood relatives because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you're moving in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would help center our hearts and minds on you as we turn to your word, Lord. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us, to challenge us, encourage us, correct us, convict us, embolden us. Lord, further us in our reflection of you as we spend time with you this morning. That you will be glorified and we will be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as Pastor Jeremy mentioned, when we first started talking, we had one and one on the way. When we visited the first time here, we had two children in 2017. We visited in 2021, we were up to four. Now we're back in 2024, we're up to six. With that kind of trajectory, you can see why we'd be nervous about future church visits. We do have six children, as Jeremy mentioned. Our oldest is Theophilus, then Anastasia, our only girl, Azariah, Micah, Josiah, and Elijah. And Elijah's 3 months old. So I was with my parents yesterday. We were celebrating my mother's birthday, and she accidentally called Josiah Jeremiah. And so I just started shouting at the kids, Isaiah, Ezekiel. You know, just pick an Old Testament name if you don't remember their names. They might respond, they might not, but just know you're in good company. All right, so the word that we're turning to this morning is Philippians chapter 1. If you have your Bible in front of you, wonderful, and if not, it's right there on the screen. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel. That's what we're going to be coming back to. Your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers. It's actually the same root word as participation. You are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The Word of God. Thanks be to the Lord. So this morning we're going to be looking at participation in the gospel, our partnership in the gospel and what that looks like. And we're going to see three different aspects of that we're going to focus on. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we must fellowship with him, partner with one another, and participate in the gospel. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we must fellowship with him, partner with one another, and actively participate in the gospel. You know, one of my favorite stories from church history is about William Tyndale. Who's heard of William Tyndale before? All right. Well, after this, all of you can raise your hand next time. William Tyndale was back in the 1500s. He was the first one to translate the Bible into English fully. And Tyndale has this interesting story, this interesting partnership with a man named Augustine Packington. So you've got Tyndale and you've got Packington. Tyndale is a genius. He speaks 8 languages fluently. He's teaching at Cambridge in England. And he realizes that the pastors in his day, they can't read Latin, and the Bible is only in Latin. So they're just relying on church dogma. Most of them, they can't even read the Bible. How are you going to pastor people you can't even read the Bible? And so Tyndale starts translating the Bible, but he has to flee to do it because the church at the time did not want the Bible to be translated into the language of the people. There was some brokenness in the church. There's always brokenness in the church. This was just their version of it 500 years ago. And so Tyndale had to flee to Germany, and he starts translating the Bible page by page, and it's getting smuggled into England. And the Bishop of London finds out about this. He's in Belgium, in Antwerp, Belgium, and he's complaining about it, and this merchant named Packington hears him. He says, hey, I can buy up all the New Testaments for you. Because Tyndale, at this point, 1525, he had finished the New Testament. And so Packington says, I can buy them up for you. You give me the money, I'll buy them all up, I'll get you the Bibles, and you can burn them. You can stop them. Okay? So the Bishop of London says, this is great, let's do it. So Bishop of London funds Packington, not knowing that Packington is friends with Tyndale. So Packington brings him the Bibles. And Packington gets the thanks. The Bishop of London has the Bibles, and guess what? Tyndale has the money. And with that money, he produces 3 times as many New Testaments as he had before. So, once again, the Bishop of London, he's furious. What? I thought we were stopping him. I thought we were stopping him. Packington says, you know what you need? You need to get the stamps that they're printing the pages on. If you get the stamps, that'll stop him. And I can get them for you. But you got to give me the money for it. Once again, the Bishop of London funds Packington. Packington gets him the books and the stamps. Bishop's happy. He burns them, breaks them, gives Packington the thanks. And once again, Tyndale has the money to produce more New Testaments and to start translating the Old Testament. He translates the first 5 books before he dies, and other guys will follow after him to finish it, of the Old Testament. One of the smugglers is caught on his way into England. The right-hand man of the Bishop of London is interrogating him. He says, I know you have outside funding. You wouldn't be able to pull this off with outside funding. You need to tell me. Who's backing you? Who's funding this project? And the smuggler looks at him and he says, my lord, we would not have had so successful a venture without the faithful support of the Bishop of London. And his right-hand man says, I thought that was the case. I told him so. You see, what man intended for evil, God used for good. And he used the partnership between Tyndale and Packington to bring glory to his name and the gospel to his people in their own language. Praise God, huh? Isn't that awesome how God works? The enemy thinks he's got a foothold, and God just crushes it and just gives you a victory. We're going to talk more about that in just a little bit, but we're going to focus on partnership today. We're going to focus on partnership. And as I said, in verse 5, that's that key word there, participation in the gospel. Do you know what a Greek word that is? You've heard this word before. You might not know it there, but koinonia. Have you heard the word koinonia before? And you might have heard it not translated as participation. There are actually three different ways to translate it, at least. You can translate it as fellowship, you can translate it as partnership, or you can translate it as participation. So how about this side right here? I'm going to say fellowship. You repeat after me. All right. Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Can you guys do partnership?
Partnership.
You guys got participation. One more time. That's what we're hitting today. Fellowship, partnership, and participation. As followers of Jesus Christ, there's the word koinonia in the Greek if you want to see it. I don't care if you don't know the Greek alphabet or if it's all Greek to you, as the joke goes, right? But fellowship, partnership, participation. That's what we're looking at. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we've got to fellowship with him, partner with one another, and actively participate in the gospel. So the first part of that. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we must,
fellowship.
One more time, I got like three people on that one,
fellowship
with him. If my van's louder, you got to be louder than my van right up here. So, as disciples of Christ, we must fellowship with him. And look at what Paul says here. He says, he who began a good work in you will perfect it. He who began a good work in you will perfect it. In fact, I love the way that this lines up here. Look at that. Participation in the gospel from the first day until now, or he who began a good work in you is still doing it until now and will perfect it until when? Till the day of Christ, when Christ returns. That sounds like a process, doesn't it? Began it. Still working in you, we'll perfect it, we'll complete it, we'll finish it in the day of Christ Jesus. It's a process. It's a process as we fellowship with him. This good work that he started in us is going to be completed. In fact, John talks, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of the same fellowship. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, they have fellowship because he has fellowship in God. We're going to come back to that. But this idea of fellowship, as we fellowship with him, he's working on this good work within us. What's that? What's he talking about? 2 Corinthians 3:18 gives us a clue. And this right here, I don't know if you've ever thought about what the goal of being a Christian is. But it's actually not to just get in heaven. Okay, that's part of it, right? To get to be with the Lord forever. But the goal of the Christian walk is kind of right in this text, right in this verse. It's not just to be with Jesus. It's actually to be like him, to be transformed. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror, okay, looking at a mirror, looking at the reflection, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. That word transformed, that's the same word metamorphosized, okay? Caterpillars become butterflies, right? Butterflies don't go back to being caterpillars. They're transformed. They're changed. As we grow in Jesus Christ, we're transformed. We are changed permanently into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Now, that's it gets a little abstract. Okay, we're being changed on an ever-increasing basis from glory to glory. That's what that is. To look like the glory of the Lord. Okay. All right, I'm being transformed into the glory of the Lord. But what does that mean? Well, Hebrews 1:3 tells us Jesus is the full radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So you're being transformed into the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God. You're being transformed to look like Jesus. Does this happen on your own? From the Lord, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working within us to change us to look more like Jesus. You and I are being changed to look like Jesus. Now, as we said, this is a process. This is a process. I don't know if you've ever seen a skyscraper being built. I can remember just driving in Cincinnati when they were building Queen City Tower. And it just seemed like, you know, the time lapse here, this takes a minute for the whole building to go up. If you've ever seen one being built, you know that's not the case, right? It's a process. But now when you look at the Cincinnati skyline, if you're driving through, you'll see Queen City Tower. It's become a fixture of the skyline. It's a staple now of the skyline of the city. It took a long time for that process to happen, but now it's a fixture. Now, you might have people in the church here, faithful saints that have been walking with the Lord for a long time. And you look at them and you think, man, they're like a staple or a fixture of the church. But it wasn't always that way. And they'll tell you that. If you're talking with them, they'll tell you, he who began a good work in me is working it until now and is going to complete it when Jesus comes back. So you might not feel every day like you're beginning to reflect Jesus, right? That you are becoming more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we know what we're becoming like Jesus. I'm more loving than I was a few years ago. I'm more peaceful than I was a few years ago. I'm more patient than I was a few years ago. It might have to be brushstroke by brushstroke. It's a gradual change. It's a gradual change. But then somebody looks at you one day, and maybe they have to go like that at first. And they realize, hey, you know what? You look like Jesus. You look like Jesus. Brushstroke by brushstroke, he is furthering you in your reflection of him. He is transforming you, metamorphosizing you. You are being changed to look like Jesus. That's the goal. That's it. And that change is furthered as we fellowship with him. As we spend more and more time with Jesus, we become more and more like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is telling us that. From glory to glory. That's an upward slope. Okay? It doesn't tell you how gradual that slope is sometimes. Maybe some days are better than others, right? But we're beginning to become more loving, more patient, more kind, more good, more faithful, more gentle, more self-controlled. It's a process, but he's began that good work in you. Does the Lord ever lie? Does God ever lie? No. If he's always truthful, is anything more powerful than God? No. And he's all-powerful, then what's to keep his word from being fulfilled? If he's all truthful and all powerful, what can stop him? Nothing. And he has said through his word that he will finish that good work that's in you. As we fellowship with him, he is changing us. I got a slide change error here, Jeremy. Let's see. All right, there we go. We're good. And so he is beginning that good work in you. He is going to finish that good work in you. We need to fellowship with him more. Now, I've got this here. Come on now. There we go. Screenshot of my phone. It's really simple to fellowship with the Lord. I mean, you got your phone on you all the time, right? Just get the Bible app. Read through the Bible in a year. It takes 15 minutes a day. Some of these plans, you can do 3 chapters a day, right? This one, you go through the New Testament twice. I don't know how many of you are doing this, but do you know how many people in America are reading their Bible every day? How many Christians in America are reading their Bible every day? You know what the percentage is? 10%. 10%. That's how many people are reading their Bible. 90% of believers are not reading their Bible on a daily basis. 90%. You nailed that one. I hope you're one of the 10. Now, here's the challenge, okay? Do you know, on average, how many hours a day, I didn't bring my phone up here, but how many hours a day we spend on our phone, on average, what the average American spends on their phone every day? It's scary. 4 hours and 37 minutes. 4 hours, and some of you are like, I don't spend that much time on it. I know, that's what makes it even scarier, because it's an average. Which means some people are going even north of that. But your phone can keep track. You can look. If you don't know what you're doing, you can see on your phone in the settings. How many hours have I spent on my phone this week? How many hours each day are you spending on your phone? And it's pretty simple just to get this app and to read a few chapters, fellowship with the Lord. I'm giving my phone 4.5 hours. Am I giving the Lord 10 minutes? Right? I hope that's a challenge to you, because it's a challenge to me. We got to be in the Word. It's a, you know, the church is kind of in a scary spot in America. Around the world, it's growing all over the place, and here the percent of growth is kind of just in line with the percent of the population growth around the country. And you have to wonder if that correlates at all to the fact that only 10% of us are reading our Bible every day. You know, the more that we fellowship with Jesus, the more we're going to see change. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we must fellowship with Him. And it's through that fellowship that we'll have partnership with one another. Just like Paul said, just like John says right here, John 1:3, right? You too may have fellowship with us because we have fellowship with the Lord. Look at the text here in Philippians. It's beautiful what Paul's written here. How I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Who here has ever been hurt by somebody in the church? Who here has ever needed to forgive somebody in the church? You know what God calls us? He calls us the family of God. Who here has ever been hurt by family? I mean, come on, right? We covered that one on the van ride up. Okay, family, that happens. That's how family does. You got to learn real quick to love and forgive in a family if you're going to survive. And you got to learn in the church, if we're going to survive, to love and forgive. But you can't do it on your own. Right? Paul, another time, he said, you got to bear with one another in love. I think that might be Peter. But either way, you got to bear with one another in love. That's Ephesians 4, Paul. But we've got to bear with one another in love. You can't love and forgive on your own. You can't do it. You need Jesus. And Paul loves these people with the love of Jesus. It's Jesus' love working through us. How do I get to have the love of Jesus? Well, I got to spend time with Jesus. My partnership with one, our partnership with one another is based on our fellowship with Christ. You see, what Christ has done on the cross, He's reconciled us to God so that we can love one another with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. But He's also reconciled us to one another so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the work of Jesus. And the way that we have partnership is by first off having fellowship with Him so that we can love each other as we ought. So we can forgive each other like we should. Because you know we're going to mess up. Because we're family. And that's what family does. We love each other, we mess up, and we forgive each other. One of the ways we partner together is we partner with each other in prayer. And you know, Here's what Paul says. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always, offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. We're praying for each other. You know, Val and I and our family have felt your prayers. You know, when you're out of your comfort zone, you realize how much you rely on the Lord on a daily basis. It's true for all of us, right? But you move 10,000 or 16,000 miles away from your home and in a culture where you don't speak the primary language, your prayer life increases. If you've ever been in a hospital, your prayer life increases, doesn't it? When we're in a place that's out of our comfort zone, our prayer lives increase. And we feel the need for God more. And we feel the prayers of God's people. You guys have prayed us through 9 moves in 5.5 years. We're about to embark on our 10th. That's absurd. We don't love moving. We just love the Lord, and He's moved us around. That's all right. But we felt your prayers. We felt your prayers when one of our children was drowned in Malaysia. We felt your prayers of protection. We felt your prayers when I had 3.5 months of being sick in Indonesia during language school. Had a parasite, a bacteria living in my intestine, or in stomach lining, and an infection in my intestine. Took 6 months of pills, about 20-something pills a day to get through that. And the prayers of God's people. I'm on the other side of it now. Praise God. We felt your prayers the day Azariah was born. In a medical facility that was less than optimal. We felt your prayers. We felt your prayers when Val had to stay behind in Indonesia when I took the older two and left because we bought plane tickets and she had to get an exit visa. And we send out prayer requests for that. I know you've been praying with us. I can look at somebody. I know. And we praise God for that. Prayed us through when we first started teaching in Malay for the first time. Then we got stuck outside the country. We went on a visa run. And we couldn't get back into our apartment for 25 months. We left for 10 days. People say, that's a really bad version of Gilligan's Island. It is. It is. We went back after 2.5 years and said, hey, kids, these used to be your clothes. These are going to be your siblings now. But you prayed us through that. You prayed us through the transition to teaching online. We went, when we saw you in 2021, at one point in 2021, we were in 35 states in 3 months, driving around in a van with 4 kids. You feel the prayers of God's people when you're doing that. And we're, guess what, we're back at it. Now we only have to do 25 states this time, but it's with 6 kids. So I feel like the intensity level's about the same, right? But we feel your prayers. We felt your prayers. We felt your prayers when we got to go back to KK, when we started teaching in the classroom again and started teaching online again. That's what Val and I have been up to. Through your partnership, that's what we've been up to. We're an extension of First Baptist St. Paris. And we've been sharing life together. You know, you share the ups, you share the downs. A different point in Thessalonians, Paul says, not only are we eager to share the gospel with you, we're eager to share our lives. We've shared life together. We've prayed for you, you've prayed for us. We've prayed for our partners who've been in the hospital, have been diagnosed with cancer or terminal illnesses. We've had partners die. We've had partners get engaged and partners get married and partners have children or grandchildren. We celebrate those moments too. We share life together. And through the chaos of it all, you know, by God's grace, we've been able to teach 25 classes to more than 250 individuals in Southeast Asia by the grace of God. Some of them multiple times over these past 4.5 years of teaching. That's a partnership. That's a ministry that's happened because of you and because of you partnering with us. And one of the ways that is beautiful about the Lord, right? He can bring victory out of what man intends for evil. He can bring victory in our lives out of the stuff that we faced. Look at this promise here in 2 Corinthians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Hear this. Who comforts us in all our affliction. Why does he give us comfort in our affliction? So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you hear the pattern there? You've been through things in your life that were rough. You've been through experiences in your life where you couldn't figure out what the Lord was up to. Maybe you couldn't even feel him. Maybe you couldn't even feel like you were hearing from him. Every one of us has been through hard stuff of life. But guess what? God has given us comfort in those moments. And maybe we couldn't see him then. But now, looking back on it, you can say, yeah, the Lord got me through that. Praise God. And he's given me victory, whatever that situation was. But do you know that our brothers and sisters around us right now, there are going to be people here that are going through things that you went through? And the comfort that God has given you through our partnership with one another, through the way that he has bonded us together through the blood of Jesus Christ to be family, we can support each other. We can ask each other, how are you doing? And when somebody says, look, I'm struggling, not just this Sunday morning, yeah, I'm doing well, how are you, right? Like, and you're like, life's horrible, but you just say that in passing. Right, that's just how we do. But to really know one another and the stuff that you're going through and to be able to say, hey, I went through that same thing and I couldn't see the Lord. Not then, but I can see how he's working now and how he worked then. And I can tell you, he's working now in you. We've got to encourage one another. That's what that partnership is all about, is encouraging one another so that we can be comforted in our afflictions and provide that comfort for others. That's partnership. So we've got, what was the first one?
Fellowship.
Now we got
partnership.
So our fellowship with him leads to our partnership with one another so that we have a participation in the gospel. One more time. Thank you. Participation in the gospel. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we've got to actively participate in the gospel. It's not a spectator sport. Look what Paul says. Paul says, actually, that he who began a good work in you, guess guess what? He's also beginning works through you. Through you. He's got good works prepared in advance for you, actually. That's what he tells us in Ephesians. He tells us that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would what? So we'd walk in them. So we would walk in them. When you look at this GIF right here, these footprints, there are two things I want you to think of. First is, why is that person's stride so short? Is that a woman on her wedding day? Like, have you ever seen somebody walk like that? That doesn't work, right? But once you get past that part of it, I want you to think, what are the good works that I'm walking in? What are the good works that the Lord has called me to walk in? What was the first one again?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. We've got a fellowship with him. Those good works aren't detached by themselves. That's what he says in 11. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ. The fruit of righteousness. As we spend time with him, as we partner with one another, as we walk in those good works, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to bear fruit. Take a look at this painting. I love this painting. Because at first you just see the grapes, right? Do you see that? And then after a little bit, you can see right in the center a face that represents the face of the Lord. It's the fruit of righteousness. It's not detached from, you can't produce it on your own. You see it, the fruit comes from the fellowship. And it's best produced in partnership. The fruit of righteousness comes from fellowship with Jesus. And the way that we produce that best is in partnership together. You see, spiritual formation, it happens in community. That's where it happens best. You know, the first not good in the Bible is that it's not good for man to be alone. That's not a call for every person to be married. That's a call for you to not walk the Christian walk alone. Okay? Singleness is a wonderful gift from the Lord as well, but you're not meant to be isolated. You're not meant to walk alone. You're going to step into those good works, do it with a brother and sister in Christ. Because that's where you're going to experience the fruit that comes from Jesus is going to be produced best with each other as we partner together in him. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we must humor me one more time. Want to go big.
Fellowship
with him. We have partnership. We have to have partnership with one another so that we have
participation
in the gospel. All right, so Valen, I'm going to invite Val up. We're going to tell you just a little bit about how we've been participating in the gospel in Kota Kinabalu, Malaysia. And well, there's the family. You've seen the family already. So we'll skip ahead to where we're at in KK.
All right, so if you're new, you won't have seen this. So this map shows you where we've been serving since we left in 2018. So that's a city called Kota Kinabalu in the country of Malaysia, and that's in Southeast Asia. So that's where we've been, and we've been still continuing to teach online for students there in that part of Southeast Asia.
So the school itself was actually founded it was started by a man there, but six of the original full-time staff, two of them were American Baptist missionaries. And they served there for 4 or 5 years, Gam and Alice Shea. So we've had a historical partnership with them since 1988, since the school was founded. The school itself teaches students anywhere from certificate, bachelor's, master's, now into the PhD, for anybody who's aspiring to grow in their knowledge of the Lord and their ability to understand his word. And so we come in, we train pastors. Sometimes we train people who are already pastors. We train people that are aspiring pastors, or we train lay leaders, and they learn in one of three different languages, Chinese, Malay, or in English. And so Val and I have been teaching primarily in the English track.
Yeah, Malaysia is a Muslim country, and many of the nations around it are also Muslim countries, and yet it's amazing that God is continuing to grow his church in that area. You know, God is not stopped by anybody or anything, right? The pandemic, you know, when we returned last year, we really saw the toll that that's taken on, especially, you know, where we were in East Malaysia. It's a poorer part of Malaysia. And you can see that people are just slowly rebuilding their lives. You know, tourism, we were stuck outside the country for 2 years, as Aaron mentioned. Well, it's not just us. It was any international tourists. right? So if you're relying on tourism, well, you don't have that for 2 years. And if you were just surviving, then the pandemic really set people back. And so they're just slowly starting to rebuild from that. And one of the side effects of that is that the enrollment at seminary is way down.
Physical enrollment.
And that's actually, this is around the world, actually. You've seen more and more people go to online studies. And so that kind of plays into what we're going to share about in a little bit, but you can talk about that.
Yeah, so this picture shows you, I mean, physical enrollment is down from what it was. It's still, this is our student body last year. So we still have a healthy student body there, but it's the need is switching more to online. And so as we began to realize that, and began to realize that kind of the need for us wasn't really there anymore, we were praying, Lord, what would you have for us? And really felt the Lord call us to have me go back and get my PhD. I'd been thinking about that for more than a decade. I wanted to do it, Lord willing, before I was 50. I'm into my 40s now. It's like, all right, it's time to do it. And so we prayed about it, and you've received emails. Those who are on our newsletter. If you're not on our newsletter, come see us. We'll get you on it. I've been accepted to start my PhD in biblical theology at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. So I'll start this fall. We'll still be with International Ministries. I'm still teaching online right now. We'll still be with IM through the end of August. But you can see, I mean, it's just such a, we love the school. We love the ministry that they've had going on there. We've loved to be a part of that for the past 4.5 years. You can see some of our students here. But really, we just feel like the Lord's grace in being able to be there and be a part of theological education. You know, when you say theological education, it doesn't sound, I mean, people aren't going to stand up and scream at that, okay? They might yawn, but they're not going to get energized. But when you see that 5 out of every 6 pastors, 85% of the pastors in the pulpit don't have theological education. They don't have training worldwide. 5 out of 6. If 5 out of 6 of every doctor that you went to didn't go to med school, what do you think we'd be doing? How do you think we'd be doing? Probably not good, right? Theological education, there's a great need for it. And so Val and I, I'm entering the PhD to be able to go deeper. You lead people as far as you've gone. And I want to be sharper in my ability to teach and proclaim the Lord's word and grow my relationship with the Lord so I can help others love Jesus more and love his word more. So we see it as an opportunity for us to be further trained and further developed for ministry so that we can continue doing, Lord willing, 5 years from now, similar to ministry to what we've already been doing for the past 7 years, that you've been partnered with us for the past 7 years in. So I think we'll probably wrap it up there. There's the principal of the school. He's got an amazing story. The Lord led him to found the school. The government granted him the land, which is just amazing in the context that they're in. And he's been doing it for off and on for 35 years now, which is just amazing. And so the ministry continues there. The Lord is still growing his church worldwide. There are 167,000 new believers every day in the world. So Jesus is on the move on the other side of the world, just like he's on the move here in St. Paris. And we're grateful for your partnership. We thank you for your prayers for us. And we ask you to continue praying for us and with us over these next few months as we move for the 10th time in 6 years.
And if you are on our email list, even when we finish up with IM at the end of August, we'll keep sending out, you know, irregular prayer updates through seminary. So if you want to stay on that list or get on that list and pray for us, we value your partnership with us in the gospel from the first day, right, when we started until now and ongoing. We really appreciate our family here as in Paris. Yeah.
So thank you guys and God bless you.
I hope you were blessed. I hope this helps you understand how we partner, not just what we do, but how we do it. And the partnership that will continue on, something Aaron didn't share that he is also doing, that we partner together. He's teaching in our ABC Ohio Leadership Academy right now. Old Testament, I believe, correct?
Yep.
Are you going to teach again next?
Unfortunately not. So this will be my last semester teaching.
That's not allowed.
Huh?
That's not allowed. I know.
My wife is available.
All right. I will, I have connections, at ABC Ohio. I can make sure one of you is always on there in some way, shape, and form. But that's another partnership we have together. And really, I hope you were also challenged that you have to ask yourself, are you fellowshipping with Jesus? It's easy to fellowship with one another sometimes, but are you fellowshipping with Jesus? Are you actively participating in the gospel in this community and in our world? It's not just those of us who are educators and pastors and those things. It's all of us doing the work of the gospel as we partner one together. And so I hope you will, after worship, you'll try to catch them if you can for a little bit. Just introduce yourself, but we'll continue partnering. You know, there may be a hiatus as far as funding goes, but we'll figure something out in about 5 years with that as we continue to be people who want to see the gospel shared here in St. Paris, Champaign County, Ohio, the United States, and all around the world. And in order to do that, we must be reminded of the cross, which isn't just a nice little symbol, but it is the reminder that we share, if we are in Christ, we share with him the blessings, but we share with him in the sufferings of the cross, and we accept both of those. So if you are able, please stand as we sing this hymn of the faith.